this one? Okay. It was a very busy month. We were at a couple of churches on Sundays. We had a conference in there and stuff like that. Also, I wanted to highlight, thank you so much for coming to the church Christmas banquet. It was on December 18th. The youth group kind of hosted it, and you guys came and were part of it. Thank you. I was so impressed, not just with the students, but also the leaders that help out with youth group. I was just thoroughly impressed with our MCs of the evening. Joel and Carl got up there and just led the evening, and they did so. This mic isn't working?
Okay.
Is there a handheld? Can I take this? The MCs.
I think now you can hear me.
I was so proud of our young people getting up there and taking leadership and doing things. Also, I was really proud of our youth leaders and how they were leading by example, but also inviting the students alongside and say, hey, why don't you come help me do this, or this job needs to get done, and doing it together. I was just so proud of the work that went into it. And thank you for your support in that. We really appreciate church. I hope that you were blessed and encouraged by it. I got lots of positive feedback just through text messages afterwards, so thank you for that, those who took time to send messages. One thing that was really encouraging, I remember we were asking for children to come because we're going to feed them a different meal, but we're also going to give them childcare as well. And I don't know how loud we were saying that we would have childcare, but we're saying bring your children. And I remember one family came in and they sat down around the table and they had two young children. And they're sitting them down at the table in the banquet. And I came over and I just said, your children actually are going to go downstairs and they're going to get looked after downstairs. And I just remember the mom looking at me, I don't have to eat with them? And I don't think there's a better compliment that night. So it was a great time. But it's bizarre how there's ups and downs all the time going on. And Diana just reminded me or passed a message on about Anna and Diego. And I don't know how public this is yet, but we're going to take a moment to pray for Anna's family. But on Thursday, her sister Ava is married to Adam. Adam froze, and they live down in Texas. And on Thursday, Adam thought he just had the flu, and he went in, and it was a blood infection, and he passed away, is my understanding. And he's 23, Ava's 19. They have a three-week-old and a one-year-old baby. So you can just imagine them right now. Anna and Diego are traveling down south to be with the family. And if we can just take a minute to pray for them. And maybe as I'm saying this, this is reminding you of something going on in someone else's life. Can you pray for them as well right now? Let's just pray. Father, I'm always in awe of how great you are and how you can be right here with us now, but you're also in Texas. You're around the world, and you're in each of our situations. You're involved, and you're listening. And my heart is sad right now for Anna's family. And we lift them up to you, Father God, and just ask that you be near them right now. I pray for Eva Froze, Father God, that you would just bring her comfort and peace. Just in this dark time of uncertainty, I pray that she would find hope in you, and that through the support of her family, Lord God, that she would see that there is a future and there's things ahead for her. Just bless her as a mom and also as a follower of you, Jesus, right now. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. So as a church, we've been working through Ephesians, and I get the chance to sort of just reminding us what we were talking about before. As a youth group, we've been going through this as well, and we kind of do a chapter at a time. We read it together, we talk about it a little bit, and highlight. And this morning, I'm going to do a similar format. I'm not going to try and take too much time on this. You guys are smart. You've been reading this. I hope you're reading this. There's good stuff in it. Have you ever had those moments where you're just tired, you're just beaten down? Or maybe you feel like that kid's story of the train that's like, I think I can, I I think I can. You know, like you feel like you're pulling this load that's so big. It's too big for you. And then you got to get it up the hill, and you're just like, I think I can. Man, I've really been enjoying Ephesians and having the chance to be reminded of who I am in Christ. Because I think often I get stuck thinking, I'm all alone, and I'm like, I got to work harder. I just got to do this. And I'm stuck in these moments. And I have to step out of it. And when I read Scripture, we need to be reading it daily, hanging out with God daily. Because it's those resets, those moments where we're like, oh, right. God is bigger than everything that I'm worried about. Oh, right. God has actually already won the battle. Oh, that's right. That's not who I am. This morning could be a fresh start today. Just a reminder, if also as you're reading the New Testament, the story of Ephesus pops up throughout. And Ephesus is the city where this church is that received the letter from Paul. And in Acts 19, we were told the story about how there's like this riot that the culture of Asia, the culture of the area, was changed through the church. And the people there who were making idols, that were selling idols, they were losing business. And they were losing business so much that they were like, we're going to lose our jobs. Because people aren't buying idols anymore. And they were dragging some of the followers of Paul into this it says a theater. And I think this is the theater they think it could have been in Ephesus. And they drag them in there, and there's like, all these people are rioting, and they're all like chanting things about Artemis, who is, there's this big temple there, worshiping this false god of Artemis. And they're all like into this like frenzy. When is the last time the church done something that gets people all riled up like that? I don't know. And I think of a church like that, and I can only imagine like the believers, I mean like the elders getting together and being like, what are we going to do? You know, like, this is crazy. Or like the deacon saying, how are we going to manage this? Like this is crazy. This is going to rip us apart, you know, like, but this didn't scare the church. And this letter that Paul's writing to them is just sort of reminding, who are we? What has God done in our life despite what's going on? Chapter 1, so what I would encourage the students when we would look at each chapter is sort of like, if you have your Bible there, it would be like, these are verses that I have highlighted in my Bible. And so in chapter 1, these verses I have highlighted, verses 13 and 14. And it goes like this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in our God's possession to the praise of his glory. Can you hear me? I don't know if... Can you guys hear me? Yeah, okay, good. Just when I look away, it didn't feel like it. This verse, those dark nights when you're like, is this real? You know? Those dark moments when you're wondering, God, like, am I saved? What's going on? This is a verse for me where I come back to. The Holy Spirit is in you as a seal, as a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's like when you go to buy something, so I'm going to buy this fridge, and it's a $1,000 fridge, and I say, I'm going to give you $500 to guarantee I'm going to come back and I'm going to get this fridge. So hold this fridge for me. It's a guarantee. God's saying, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, as a deposit, as a promise that I'm coming. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that exciting? That should lift our spirits when we're struggling. when we're in the talk of 2020 and there's all these new year resolutions going on and goal settings, and sometimes often the defeat of those goals not being met, we don't need to lose heart. God is saying, I'm not giving up on you. My spirit is in you. In chapter 2, I feel like there's actually quite a few verses I would highlight. The reminder that it is by grace that you have been saved in verses 8 and 9 through faith. And this is not... sorry, I can't read that far away. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. The reminder that God delights in us because he has made us. And that what Christ has done on the cross isn't something that we earn by merit. But it's him demonstrating love for us. Also, what that does for us down in verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. When we were talking about this verse, I was reminded about, I had friends who had a pig farm. And it was a giant operation. And they had this one area, this one corner on the farm where the dead animals would go. And for those who've been on a farm, if you've ever seen a dead animal that's been there for a while, they get like bloated and it's weird and it's not normal. It's not natural anymore. You know it's a dead animal. And often I feel like when we talk about being saved, I often think of that. I once was dead. I was lost in my transgressions. I was dead. I didn't know anything about God. But then because of what Jesus did, he brought me back to life. And I read verses like this. It's not just that God has brought me back to life. He's actually made me a member of his household. It's like those dead pigs. It's not that they're just brought back to life and they're back in the barn. No. Those pigs are actually members of the household. They're members of the farmer. We were once enemies of God. And because of what he did on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, it not only just paid for our sins, it wiped the debt out, it made us members of God's household. So we can call him Father. In chapter 3, I love the closer on chapter 3, and this is like kind of the verse that we were saying that we should highlight. And I want to be careful not to just sort of abuse this and make this verse about us. Because this verse to me is just talks so much about what God has in store for us. How we can think we have the best plan and we're the smartest person in the room sometimes. And we know how to solve the situation or what would make it better. And when I start thinking like that, it reminds me of my children. And how, especially like when they're young, like when they're toddlers, when they think that they know what would make the situation best. And often what I think of is like a dispute over a toy, or they want a treat or a candy right now because they're hungry, but you know supper's coming. They don't have the capacity to understand, because in those situations, all they're thinking about is what they want, what would make them happy, what would gratify them now. And when I start thinking of that, I feel like when I come to God and I go, God, this is what's going on right now, and this is what I want you to do to fix it. I feel like I'm just like that toddler. I'm just thinking about myself. When I read this, I'm reminded about who God is and his plans. Verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Our leadership team of our church has been working through our governance. We've been doing a lot of work there. And I've been praying for them. as they've been doing this, and as things start happening and getting done and accomplished, I believe that what they're doing is building the foundation for what God has in store. Now, this can't get accomplished on their own ideas and their own merit. But as they, and Pastor Gary, as they come to God and they say to God, what do we do? What do you have in store? I believe that God's plans, his dreams, his visions for the future are way better than anything that I can dream. And this inspires me to live a life with God in control. So, Ephesians is, we're halfway through the letter. We've got three more chapters to go. I don't want to get into what's coming. I've just been asked to bring us up to what we've been looking at. But when I think of just these three promises, and that this isn't all of the promises, what's in store, and what Pastor Gary's been talking about, but our identity, we're Holy Spirit filled, and we're adopted into the family of God. And God can do more than we can even imagine or dream. The timing of this being the beginning of 2020, it reminds me in all my plans and my dreams and things that are unknown ahead, that I can trust God. That I continue to be, that as I continue to see God prove himself faithful in the little things that I'm doing, the impact is always bigger than I can dream or imagine. So there's times that I have forgotten who I am. Maybe you have forgotten who you are in Christ Jesus. This is the promises that what we have in store for us. That what God has in store for you. This morning, as I was just taking a moment to reflect earlier this morning, my verse for the day on my Bible app was Isaiah 40:31. It goes like this: "But those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." In a moment, we're going to have communion. And if the servers can come forward, that'd be great. But I want to pray before we transition to communion. And just pray that wherever you're at, whatever you're wrestling with, that God would really speak into it. Your New Year's resolutions would be deeper than just, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." But that you would actually begin to see yourself as God sees you, as his son, as his daughter, as part of his family. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for inspiring Paul to write this letter to the church in Ephesus. Like, this is almost 2,000 years ago. And your truths, Lord God, they're still true today. And they speak to us today. We live in a world where we can be so easily, so quickly distracted by what's going on around us, by what we're watching, that we can be hungry and instantly gratify that hunger with so many options. If I want to go somewhere, I can just hop in my car and drive it. It's so easy for us today, God. And we forget so easily how you see us and the plans that you have for us. So God, this morning, I pray for myself, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, that we would not lose sight, that we would not lose hope, that we would not grow tired or weary, Lord God, that we would come to you faithfully every day, spend time with you, be reminded about who we are because of what you've done, Jesus, and what you have accomplished in our hearts or in our lives. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. We love you, and in your name. This morning we're having communion together, and our church's practice is, if you're new or visiting, you're invited to join us in communion, but also we just ask that you be a follower of Jesus, that you're someone who has put your trust in Jesus as a requirement for being a partaker in communion. I grew up in the church. I grew up sitting, watching people take communion. And often, I always wrestled with, like, that moment, like, when the stuff gets passed out, like the bread or the cup gets passed out, and people sit there, and they kind of, like, quiet. And I always wonder, like, what's going on, you know? And when I was old enough to start taking communion, I remember sometimes sitting there, and I would just, like, pause, you know, and you're kind of, like, you're praying and you're thinking. And I just want to read the warning here that Paul says in 1 Corinthians about that this isn't something that we just do lightly or we do because we've just been doing it. But it's actually a moment that we're supposed to examine our hearts. We're supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to repent. And sometimes there's action that needs to happen. And so during that time of examination, if you're talking to God and you feel like you need to do something or you need to talk to someone, I mean, I'm up here, you can come talk to me. Or you can make a plan to talk to me after. Or maybe you just need to go ask someone for forgiveness or to forgive someone. I would encourage you to do that. This is in verse 27. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. I just read that as a warning for myself and for you. I'll pass out the bread here, and we'll sing. Stop. We get to, this is a tradition that's been happening since Jesus died the day that he was betrayed and died on the cross. It's pretty cool that we get to join into that heritage. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Thank you, Jesus, for demonstrating your love for us. We remember.
Was grace that died.